We've sung part of it. I'm going to read it as well. We'll have these thoughts before us because then we'll sing the last part of the psalm after the message tonight. So if you have a Bible and want to turn to Psalm 25, we'll be reading that as our scripture passage tonight. I'm using the NIV tonight and quotes from that. Psalm 25, I'm going to read the entire psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. And he will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress. Take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. May God teach us from this part of his word. Let's just ask God to guide us from it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is written down where we can read it again and again. Thank you for your promises and for the instruction that you give us. Help us tonight as we look at this passage, as we think about the year before us. Give us your direction and help, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is a new year, and it's a wonderful way to start the new year, to have a day of worship on the first day of the year. I think that's a great thing, because it centers our focus on the Lord, kind of starts our year with those thoughts in mind. Certainly, the beginning of a year makes us kind of rethink things. God has put us in such a time frame that we do come from time to time to an end of one part, beginning of a new part, and therefore we kind of reevaluate, we think about the future, we begin to plan. All those things kind of come with this. And we say to each other, Happy New Year. How many times have you heard that in the last couple of days? Happy New Year. What we're saying is we want this next year to be probably happier than the one past. I'm sure all of us can look back on 2016 and say there have been some of these hard things to face. There have been some good successes perhaps. But we want this next year to be even better than the year we've had. We want this to be a happy new year. There's a poem that I found. Frances Ridley Havergal wrote a poem about the this kind of wishing for each other, and it really says it well. Let me just read it to you. What shall I wish thee? Treasures on earth, songs in the sunshine, pleasure and mirth, flowers on the pathway, skies ever clear. Would this ensure thee a happy new year? What shall I wish thee? What can be found bringing thee sunshine all the year round? Where is the treasure lasting and dear that shall ensure us a happy new year? Faith that increases, walking in light, hope that abounds, happy and bright, love that is perfect, casting out fear, these shall ensure thee a happy new year. Peace in the Savior, rest at his feet, smiles on his countenance, radiant and sweet, joy in his presence, Christ ever near, this will ensure thee a happy new year. I think that says well that it's the spiritual things that we depend on to really give us happiness, to really give us joy. And if those things are in place, then God can bless us in that and really give us a good year ahead. This Psalm 25 speaks of these things and really gives us direction and help. And this is counsel from God himself, not just a poet that puts things down nicely, but rather from God himself. He gives us instruction and counsel, and we're going to look at some of this counsel and try to pick it out. There's a lot of things here. I just want to focus on two things. One would be attitudes for the new year and promises for the new year. Those are the two things we're looking at tonight, and I want you to think about these as you think about your days that are ahead. So when we speak of attitude, attitude's kind of a funny word. It has to do with position and posture in relation to the situation around. I understand it's used by pilots in airplanes. They want to know the attitude, which, and maybe Roger, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but it has to do with where this plane is in relation to everything around it, the wind, the surface of the water or land, its attitude, it's a position in relation to other things. Well, when we think of people, attitude is really the posture you take in relation to the things around you and how you relate to those things. We talk about good attitudes and bad attitudes. If we go a little step further, we say this is a Christian attitude, a non-Christian attitude. You can have either one of those. And your attitude really determines your sense of well-being, that is, your happiness in relation to life. And if you have a Christian attitude, then I think you have a position, a posture, in relation to all the events of life that will give you a sense of joy and blessing in life. So in this psalm, there are attitudes that are mentioned, and I want to mention four of those. The first is that we need an attitude of trust and confidence in God himself. Trust and confidence. Our limitation is that we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We just don't have the capacity. People can conjecture and plan and think and so on, but we really don't know. In fact, the Bible says we don't know what a day will bring forth, let alone a whole year that lies ahead of us now in 2017. Now, the benefit for the Christian is that he has a God who knows the future, Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending. God knows it all. And God says, if you will acknowledge me, I will direct your paths. I will make your paths straight, and so on. Psalmist says it here in verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. And the reason is, in you I trust, O my God. I trust in you because you're the one who knows it all. and you're the one that I can go. So my attitude in life, my posture, you might say, in relation to what happens to me in this coming year, is that I trust in this God. Now, it's not a blind faith. Blind faith simply says, I hope everything will work out. That's nothing. I hope it'll work out. There's no real confidence or stability in that kind of idea. Nor is there confidence in saying, I'm going to be able to cope. I don't care what comes, I'm going to be able to cope during this coming year. That's crazy talk. Rather, we lean on a God who has the future in his hands. He knows, not only knows the future, he controls the future. He has control of every event that takes place in life. And he has established a covenant with me. He has said to me, I will be your God and you will be my child. So a God who knows everything about everything, and he says, I will be a God to you and you can be my child and I will guide you and help you, that is what gives confidence. And so I put my trust in him. It's a personal relationship that he establishes with me, and I can trust him because he's a faithful God. And he says to me, everything will work out okay as I plan it for you and carry it out for you. And I think that certainly what Bush has just told us brings all of this to us and say, wait a minute. You say that you have knowledge of all things and you plan all things. How can this be good? And yet in this text, well, you know Romans 8:28, which is a verse we always turn back to, that says, in all things, God works for the good of those who trust him and know him, love him, who are called according to his purpose. That same idea is in verse 10 here, that says, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Now, when you walk with him then, day by day, you trust him and you're trying to work with him and walk with him, then you have the confidence, you have the assurance, you have the stability of life, to know that for some way God is doing this for our good. So if this is my attitude as I begin the new year, as I say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I trust God, I'm walking with God, I'm trying to stay close to him because he will make it work out for right. So this trust is an attitude which is first and foremost in our thinking. The second attitude that I'll mention is submission and teachableness. Submission and teachableness. Here again, I think there's a key to having a happy new year. If I am submissive to God and I'm open to his instruction to me, then he will guide me. In fact, he says in verse 4, the psalmist says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. If that's your spirit, if that's your attitude, I'm going to start each day and say, Lord, guide my steps today. Show me your paths today. Then I think we have a real basis for confidence, a real hope in the future. Now, this is rather different from some people who basically think they can do it themselves. In fact, there was a song that Frank Sinatra sang, and you probably know that song, I'll do it my way. I did it. I guess this is what it says. I did it my way. Well, you contrast that song with this song. I did it my way. Show me your ways, O Lord. Now, isn't that a contrast? That's the difference that we have, basically, in life. And whichever attitude we take, this guy takes an attitude that says, I'll do it my way, And this one says, show me your ways, O Lord. And that attitude will really guide your future. And there are promises here that God will, in fact, guide you. If you say to him, show me your ways, O Lord. Look at verse 9. He says there, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. I pray, show me your ways. The passage says, and God is saying, I will teach you the ways in which you should go. Now, there's no promise that this will be easy. I think we learned that this morning. Excuse me, in the sermon this morning, we heard that suffering is a part of it, part of life. And certainly in what we've heard tonight. But we live, and Christians are not exempt from that, I have to say. We are a part of a corrupted world, and therefore we have to face some of the junk and the trash that goes on in this world. But if I'm teachable, if I am submissive to God's will and God's direction for my life, then he teaches me the way to walk. In fact, he teaches me how to respond to the events that happen. I have my posture, I have my attitude, and as the events come into my experience, I have a perspective by which to evaluate them and make decisions in relationship to them. And to know that I can trust God, that he knows what I need, and God will work in my life to guide me, then that gives me a great sense of confidence as I face the future. I guess the attitude God looks for would be something like a child in a family, and this child is submissive and teachable. Boy, that's my kind of child. This child is submissive to what I teach him, and he learns and is willing to learn what my will for him is, and so on. Now, that's really a great thing, and it is that which will be an attitude which will give me direction for the new year. A third attitude would be appreciation and respect for God. Appreciation for God, who he is and what he's doing, and appreciation for respect for him in every way. Here again, I think, is a fundamental Christian attitude that we know who God is, and therefore we can see his hand working in the events of my life. I can see that I'm living in the presence of God, and he is directing and helping in my experiences. I think people that have that attitude can look back at the past year, and instead of picking out the troubles and the mess and finding all the problems, what they see is, I can see how God worked this and this and this and brought all of that to my life during this past year. They can see the hand of God involved in them, and that's or with them, and that's what we need to see. I think we see the attitude here in verses 6. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are of old. He's seen that mercy. He's seen that love. Verse 7, for you are good, O Lord. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Verse 10, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. These statements are there. These statements are saying, I need to appreciate this God. I need to see his qualities, his attributes, and I need to respect him and appreciate his handiwork in my life. Verse 11, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. It's not just focused on me. He's appreciating the work of God. He's respecting the work of God. And he desires the glory of God. So that what happens to me as I face the events of life, that he will receive the honor and he will receive the glory. As we cultivate that attitude, appreciation and this sense of respect for God, then I think God will, as he says here, will promise to guide us. Well, the fourth attitude would be attentiveness and expectancy. Those two ideas, attentiveness and expectancy. I see that in verse 15. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. That's attentiveness. I keep my eyes up on the Lord because he's the one who will guide me. He's the one who will best me or make my life what it should be. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. So he's with me. He's in my presence. And I need to turn my eyes and keep them focused on him. There's another poet that I found. I'll just read that as well. She says, I don't look back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning, the regrets. I leave that all with him who blots the record and mercifully forgives and then forgets. I don't look forward. God sees the future. The road that short or long will lead me home, and he will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. But I look up. Here's the third verse. I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. She says it well. Turn your eyes up. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. And that's really our hope. Verse 5 says, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you. So it's trusting and looking to God to find real hope there. Verse 21, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. Again, it's a focus on God himself. Well, here's four attitudes that I think will help us have a happy new year. Trust and confidence in God alone, submission and teachableness, appreciation and respect, attentiveness and expectancy. Now, I said there were two parts to the sermon. The second part is the promises, and I'll just say very quickly what these promises are. In fact, I'll just summarize them in three statements. And the first of those three statements is this: God will never let you down. That's been said a couple of times today already. God will never let you down. Verse 3 says, no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Now, I think that that's a general promise. It's not true in every individual situation, except in the broad sense, in the general sense. There will be reverses. There will be difficulties that we face. We will face embarrassing times, perhaps, in certain situations. But he'll never let us down. He'll never let us go. In the ultimate sense, Christians may face hard things, and yet every wrong will be righted. Think about this. Every wrong that ever I may remember or kind of brood on sometimes, every wrong will be righted. Every disappointment will be explained. God will explain why and how these things have taken place. Every promise of God will be fulfilled. And the confidence that we have in God will be vindicated perfectly. There's just no doubt about that. God will do it because that's what he promises to do. Now, this is his promise for the new year. And it's something we can rest in and lean upon as we face this uncertain new year. The second promise, first is God will never let you down. Second one would be God will give you the guidance you need when you seek it from him, when you ask him or look to him for that guidance. He promises to do that. When you pray, show me your ways, O Lord, he will show you his ways. That's just a simple truth from this passage. I like verse 8 especially. It reads this way in the NIV, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways, and he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." I like to be guided in what is right. I like to know what's right in certain situations, and that says God will do it for me. Same thing in verse 12. "Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He," that's God, "will instruct him in the way chosen for him." I want to know that I'm following the way that God has chosen out for me. And he says here that that will happen. It doesn't mean I don't have to make hard decisions. I can't just sit back and say, "Okay, God, you do it. Whatever you're going to do, do." Life doesn't work that way, and nothing in our Christian experience works that way. So we have to make those hard decisions, but if I take those decisions to him and say, "Which is the best way here? What is the right way to go in this situation?" He promises that he will help us in that and lead us forth. Well, there's a third promise, and that is that God will prosper you and deliver you from the traps and snares of the evil one. He will deliver you from the traps and snares that Satan would try to do that. It says in verse 13, "He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land." Let me say it again, this is a general promise. I think God's people are blessed people, but it doesn't mean that there won't be some hard things that come along the way. But the beauty of the Christian life is that God can somehow take these things that are difficult and hard and make them good for us. Help us to grow, help us to develop, help us to learn to trust more, and all of those things are part of it. And when Satan tries to trap you, when he tries to get you into a bind where you'll sin, it says in verse 15, "The Lord will release my feet from the snare." He sets me free from those things. Those are not burdens that I carry on with me. I can lay those down because Jesus sets me free. Well, here's some challenges for the new year. Some good attitudes. Get these attitudes in place. Get your posture and position where it ought to be so that you can then evaluate where you are in relation to the events of life, and then claim the promises that God has given to you. If you do those things and work on them this year, I'm pretty sure you'll have a happy new year. Let's pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we realize that life is a challenge, but we thank you that you know and guide and direct all things that relate to our lives. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you tonight again for this new year. We pray that you might give us the right attitudes, that our posture and our position will be right with you, and therefore we can evaluate the events that come. And Lord, make our lives to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus, that his kingdom may advance, that his kingdom may come, his will might be done on earth as it's done in heaven. So hear our prayers tonight. Bless each family. You know the needs, the special needs of each family. Lord, bless those needs and meet them in a way that brings glory to yourself and joy and blessing to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.